Well, at least for one more week after today, we will still be on Galatians 5. And today I'll just read the two verses that I've read several weeks in a row now as we've studied the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Today, I want to speak to you about gentleness or meekness, because the Greek word means meekness. But before I speak about that, I want to read this poem. In the distance, there stands a white horse, proud and persistent to run his own course, entering through no other doors but those he has made for himself. In his own eyes, he's the prince of all, clever and wise. He heeds no call, ever denies that he could fall, dependent on nobody else. As time went on, he came upon the thought that he was lonely. He felt the fear. He cried a tear, and he knew he was not the only. The rider whose name was true begins to seek. He opens his eyes to find his stallion meek. Then came that moment with no one in sight but a horse with no name and a rider in white. Filled with compassion for his plight, the stallion he claims for his own. As time had passed, there came at last the lifting of his burden. His strength renewed with gratitude. And joy he became a servant. The rider has come in view, his form unique, and he has chosen to ride his stallion meek. Throughout Scripture, there is talk of horses, and horses in Scripture usually were comparable to our tanks today. They were weapons of war, and yet they could not be such a weapon unless they were meek, unless they had been trained. If they were bucking off their rider, then they would be no good to the person who's riding on them. Actually, they would be a hindrance to what they had to do. And I believe the horses in Scripture, I believe horses were always meant by God to be ridden to by human beings. I believe God created them that way. Not that they're just, you know, the person who doesn't believe in God would say, no, that can't be. They're just natural animals. They never are supposed to be ridden. You're never supposed to put a saddle on them. And yet I believe God had it planned all the time. And when we look in Scripture, we see through the horse a lesson about meekness and gentleness. Meekness is always, I've always heard it defined by Christians as strength under control. Strength under control, and that's best pictured by a horse. And so I like that poem, because the horse really doesn't find its fulfillment, its life, until it has that rider. And we don't really find fulfillment and life until we have Christ as our Lord, and we're ready to meekly follow everything He says. So today I want to talk about this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, and I'm going to, instead of using the word gentleness throughout this sermon, I'm going to use the word meekness as well, because the Greek word here is equal to both, actually. Our words meek and gentle are two different words, and they mean two different things, but in the Greek, the word praotes means both of those things. It talks about meekness as a characteristic of who we are in our heart, and gentleness kind of the outworking of that meekness when we are in relationship to others. And I feel bad. I know it sounds better just to use one, but I think it would have been better translated gentle meekness or meek gentleness or something as the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what the word actually means. And in the New Testament, it's interesting, the same Greek word is translated both ways. The exact same word, not even different forms of it. The exact same word in sometimes, and even in the same version of the Bible, like I'm using the New King James, they translate the same word different ways in different passages. Three passages that translate this word meekness rather than gentleness. 2 Corinthians 10:1, now I, Paul, myself am pleading you with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And that's an interesting verse because it has both words in that word, in that verse. It says meekness and gentleness. And the word that's translated meekness is the same Greek word I've told you about that is in Galatians 5 translated gentleness. And then there's another word translated gentleness, a whole different Greek word. And so we see that these were words. There was a word that was just gentleness. And then there was another Greek word that meant meek gentleness. And here, because they have both of them, they obviously translated this one meekness. 2 Corinthians, or actually James 12:1, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. When you hear the word of God, you're supposed to receive it with meekness, meaning that you're ready to do that. Like the horse, when the rider is guiding it this way or that way, the word of God should be guiding us this way and that way. We should not be fighting against the way the word would lead us, the way the Lord would lead us. And that's what that means. In 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How do we relate to other people, especially those who are ungodly, who are non-believers, but they're asking us about our faith? We present it with meekness, and fear can be translated their reverence in a way that shows respect even to that person who may be ungodly. Secondly, the meekness or gentleness described here also might easily be understood in terms of what is opposite of meekness. That's what you see on the front of the bulletin. I don't know if you noticed this. The guy's going for an anger management class, and the class was canceled, and so he throws the sign through the window. He's obviously not meek, and that's the point, is meekness is opposite of this, I didn't get my way, wham, or that kind of attitude that sometimes maybe we're surprised, maybe we're caught off guard, something didn't work out for us, and we have to slam something or bang something. That's just the opposite of meekness, that pride. Or lifting up or glorifying or indulging self or depending on self. The next fruit is self-control. And there's a lot of similarities between meekness and gentleness and self-control. But here, the opposite of meekness is Frank Sinatra singing, I did it my way. I'm not somebody who kneels, not somebody who prays. I have a route that I'm going to take, and I'm going to be stubborn and do it. Stubbornness as well as anger is contrary to meekness. If an unmeek person prays, he prays, my will be done and my kingdom come, instead of thy will be done and thy kingdom come. By nature, opposite being meek, we are like the wild horses, like bucking broncos. We don't want to be rode. We don't want to be ruled. We don't want to be controlled or governed, especially not by God. And you see it all around you in the world for sure. You see people constantly rebelling against God. Whatever God says, if it's the Bible, we got to get rid of that. But worst yet is when we see it in our own hearts. I think this is one of the hardest things for us even as Christians. I know for me, because it's not just outward action he's talking about. He's talking about your heart. and how you handle it when your dreams are broken, how you handle it when things go really poorly for you. How are you going to handle those circumstances? And meekness is what comes out in the middle of us in those things. And in Scripture, when we're not meek, such people are described as stiff-necked. And stiff-necked, is, you see it in a couple of verses I have in your notes. Jeremiah 17:23, but they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their stiff neck stiff, that they might not hear or receive instruction. Those people that Jeremiah preached to, they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. They were doing all sorts of offering their children to idols. And Jeremiah would preach to them and tell them that God was going to judge them for these things. And they said, we want nothing to do. This is the people of Israel, God's people. They wanted nothing to do with God. They said, we will continue worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, just like Jeremiah said, came down, the Babylonian king, and destroyed Jerusalem. Why? Because they were so stubborn and stiff-necked, and they were not meek. In Acts 7:51, though, Stephen is preaching, and he gets to the part so far in his message, many of the Jewish people are listening to him, and then he gets to this part. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your father did. So do you. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. He's talking to Jewish people who were uncircumcised. They were circumcised in the flesh, but he says their hearts weren't there, and they were stiff-necked. And that Greek word there, since I found a New Testament one, sklerotrak. Alos means stiff-necked, one word. And it's a metaphor taken from the untoward oxen. In those days, they plowed with oxen. They put a yoke on the ox. And if the oak could stiffen its neck, it was hard to get the yoke on it at all. And then if it kept that stiff neck, it was hard to turn the oxen or direct it anyway. And here again, he says, this is how they were. The opposite of meekness is this stiff-necked attitude. Yet the gentle meek horse is easily controlled and moved by its rider. I can't believe somebody, Kathy's talking about the Kentucky Derby, and I could have watched that as part of sermon preparation, but I didn't. So now I thought of it just because so much time. But those horses, what if they ran the other way? I mean, that's not, they have to know to go in the right way. Even more, I've loved to see those horses that go over the fences and over the, they run through these obstacles so perfectly. Why? Because they're meek. And we're supposed to be that way with the Lord. Secondly, second main point, as a fruit of God's Spirit, this meek gentleness is supernatural. Here again, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness or meekness. And we need to see this just like all of the other fruits of the Spirit or fruit of the Spirit, if you want to say they're all one, as something that is supernatural. It's not something that we have inside us naturally. Now you'd say, and you probably have met many of them, there are people who are naturally meek. They're naturally gentle. They naturally seem calm most of the time. They're not flustered by anything. And oftentimes, a person can be nice on the outside and be boiling and angry on the inside. I remember myself, I was very shy as a kid, and there'd be times, though, that I would be... And that's not meek. Even if you hold the anger in, it's still not meek. Other people are maybe just always quiet and always meek. And the ladies, when we studied the Bible for our Bible study some time ago, we were studying contentment. And not everybody liked Jeremiah Burroughs because he was hard to read, but he did have some really, really great points. And he talked about this very issue, about some people just being naturally content, naturally meek, naturally gentle, naturally kind. And he says one of the ways you can tell between somebody who has the fruit of the Spirit and somebody who is just naturally meek is that there are certain circumstances where somebody should be angry or they should have a bit of a temper. One example of this, and the perfect example, is Jesus when they were selling things in the temple, and he took a whip and he chased them out of there. And some people might say, well, he wasn't really angry then. That's ridiculous. He was angry. He was chasing them out of there. He wasn't sinfully angry. He was righteously angry. And a person who is has the fruit of the Spirit of meekness, and Jesus was meek. And that'll be another point in this sermon. Jesus was very meek, and yet there were times where it wasn't appropriate to be meek, where what was appropriate was righteous wrath. Now, usually we're the other way around. Usually wrath takes more time than it should, and meekness takes littler time. But there are times when people, sometimes naturally meek, should be bolder, should stand up for God, should do what is right. The rich young ruler is a biblical example of this natural niceness. He comes to Jesus, Mark 10:17, and he says, now he was going down out on the road. One came running, knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Other passages say he even bowed down to Jesus. Very polite, a good young man. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? And the man is not really good, and Jesus is. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And if you know the rest of the story, the young man walked away. He wasn't even close to letting go of his money and his riches. And he walked away. He was kind. He was gentle. He seemed all these things. He supposedly had, in his own mind, kept all the commandments. And yet when Jesus asked him to sell all he had and to follow him, there wasn't a meekness to follow Jesus, to go that way. His money was more important to him. It had on him a horrible iron grip that he couldn't let go of. And so his meekness was not really there, even though it might have seemed there. The true meekness of God is a fruit of the Spirit. And we need it in our lives. And this leads to the next point. Yet godly meekness requires training, discipline, spiritual growth, and heart work. It's a supernatural thing, that is for sure. And yet it's not an automatic thing when we become a Christian. Even believers have struggles with meekness or gentleness. And this is something that only God can change. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. And then I had a typo. I put the wrong verse in your bulletin. I should have had Matthew 15 instead of 9:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. This is what comes naturally to us, And that's why in Galatians 5, which we've covered, these things are called the lust or the works of the flesh, because our flesh naturally goes a certain sinful way, and meekness takes us against nature. And I've always liked this cartoon, and I never was able to get it into your bulletins before, but I'm growing in my computer skills, so I'm happy about that, and it's right in there. My name is Elmo. Well, it all started rather innocently, healing socially, you know, a game warden here, a tourist there, impressing the other guys, you know. But then I couldn't stop. Sometimes I'd even stash an extra one in the crotch of a tree. And he's speaking from Man-Eaters Anonymous. He's eating all these people, and he just can't help it. Why? Because he looks like a leopard. And this is what leopards do. They eat meat. Now, not every leopard eats human beings. They don't have the opportunity to. But if they had the opportunity and they were hungry and the human didn't have a gun to defend himself, they would try. And they would do that. Why? Because that's part of their nature. They are that kind of animal, and so are the others in that picture. And we are all, some degree, like wild animals, wild for sin. We have varying wicked desires. We feel pride, we feel lust, we feel envy, we feel jealousy, even hatred at times burning with inside us. And these lusts are the works of the flesh, not the work of the Spirit. And it says in Galatians 5 that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And there Jesus is, Paul is describing a Christian. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. What we have inside us is a battle. And meekness has to do with being under God's control, under the Spirit's control. Meekness really is a tool for us to have all those other fruits of the Spirit, because it's letting God control these things. Meekness involves applying spiritual truths, doctrine, to our lives. The truths of Matthew 5:4 are applied in Matthew 5:3 and 4 are applied in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These three verses really go together. When it starts with blessed are the poor in spirit, the words poor in spirit really mean spiritually bankrupt. It's describing the person who realizes, as that tax collector that Jesus talks about, who was in the temple with the Pharisee, all he can do is look up and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The meek person is somebody first who realizes that they themselves, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm a sinner, and I cannot help myself. I am, as it says in Ephesians, dead in trespasses and sins. I have no righteousness in me, nothing to recommend me in myself for heaven. All I have in me will drag me to hell. That is the person who is poor in spirit. They have a realization of who and what they are. And that's what Jesus is talking about. That's why the next verse says, blessed is he that mourns. Why would you mourn? And here it's talking about not just crying, but it's talking about loud wailing and mourning. Like in those days, they used to pay mourners for their funerals who would wail. I'm not going to wail this morning, but they'd have people wail loud as they can. And he's talking here about wailing and mourning for your sins, and you realize you're spiritually bankrupt, then you mourn for your sins. But I haven't even said anything about the positive side. Jesus says the spiritually bankrupt person, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The person who mourns, who's crying, he shall be comforted. When we realize we're in this position, then God comes and helps us, because we've realized our need. And when that happens, then the next thing happens. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The people are meek because they realize, I don't deserve anything I have. It's all because of the blessing of God. I deserve to be in hell. And if God sent me to hell and let me burn there forever, He would be perfectly righteous to do that. Because I am spiritually bankrupt. I'm a sinner. And so in that case, realizing what you really deserve, the same person gets blessings. God has given them friends in the church, fellowship with the people of God, other people who are saved in the same way. And not only that, but the Word of God promising salvation, promising that you'd be saved from hell, promising heaven, eternity with the angels and with Jesus Christ, and God drying every tear from their eyes. How could you not be meek in that what you deserve is not what you got, but you get much beyond what you deserve in blessings? And so here, the meek person realizes all these things, and by the Spirit applies these things to their life. And that's why they are meek. Martin Lloyd-Jones defines it like this. He says, I would define meekness like this. The man who is truly meek is one who is amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. The meek person realizes God brings curses and difficulties into his life, and they are deserved. Our sins deserve hellfire. Less punishment than that is grace. That's why it says in Lamentations, and in Lamentations is right after Jeremiah. Jeremiah is prophesying what would happen and has already happened in Lamentations. He was telling the Israelites that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come and destroy Jerusalem, kill many of them, and leave a lot of them that were, take some of them, the children and the best of them, back with him to Babylon, and leave the weakest ones back in the rubble to fend for themselves when they really had nothing, when their land had been raped of everything. And in that situation, Jeremiah says, inspired by God, why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? If you're alive, he says, why complain in this particular circumstance? God graciously brings difficulties in our life as discipline. If we are Christians, the things that we go through are for His purposes, Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. That's an encouragement. I think if you're going through any kind of difficulty, how do you handle it meekly? You know that it's your father who's the one that's spanking you. And as we mature as children, we learn at a time that our, maybe it's after we're adults, our fathers were right to spank us, or they did what they did to punish us had a point. And yet we need to learn the same with our Heavenly Father. And we do. And meekness is the one who takes it, who says, yes, I know. I deserve this. I know it's for my good. Fourthly, meekness or gentleness itself is a blessing which brings other blessings. First, meekness opens a person to God's instruction. The humble, Psalm 25:9 says, he guides in justice. And actually, If you look in the King James Version, it's the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. That person who meekly sits at God's Word, who's ready to do it, God's going to teach him. God's Spirit's going to help him to understand, or her understand, the Word of God. More than the person who stubbornly will not do it. The meek person is the one God rewards that way. Meekness makes a person rewardable. As I already quoted, Matthew 5:5, and this is the same Greek word that's in Galatians 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's one verse that seems very different than what is in reality happening. Two ladies are shopping at a store, and they both want the same thing. And one of the ladies is meek, and one of them is not meek. And the not meek person runs and grabs it out of the way. This is mine. And the not meek person usually gets that thing. But do they get it with the blessing of God? Whatever the meek person has comes with God's blessing. They come and they let that person go, and the other person maybe feels embarrassed by that. And it's the same true in many avenues of life. The meek business person doesn't often get ahead when somebody else is willing to hurt other people, whether willing to cheat, willing to do whatever it takes to get a sale or to get ahead. The meek person humbly gets whatever is left, and yet he has it as a Christian with the blessing of God. The meek will inherit the earth. Very different than grabbing the earth. They will inherit. God is saying those things God has for them, and in the end will be provided. Meekness and gentleness makes us more like Christ. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," and that's that same word again, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says he's gentle, which is the same word that's also meek, and that's how Jesus describes himself. And the other word there, it says, "and lowly in heart." That word, I looked that up in the Greek too, because I was thinking, well, it might be meek again. That word actually means, our Lord Jesus, it means to get down on the ground and to crawl in the dirt. Jesus is saying that's what he did. And he did that for us in order for us to be saved. He got down in a low place in his heart. Spiritually, he did that for us. Fourth, meekness, gentleness enables us to speak for God. I already read from 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Part of our speaking, our evangelist, our apologetic is to know the word of God and to be able to answer questions. The other part is to be meek and humble when you present it to somebody. And sometimes when you know a lot, it's hard to be meek and humble. You want to show the other person. But here, it's saying this is the way we communicate. Also, Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass," meaning a sin, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." That's how, when we know somebody has sinned, they have failed, do we go up to them and take them by the neck and, "How can you do that?" No, you go in a spirit of gentleness. And maybe we need to think before we, take some time and come in that spirit of gentleness. And that's how we correct somebody who's gone in fault. True meekness will be valued when Christ returns to judge the world. In that little book of Zephaniah that I know you guys all read all the time, there's this verse, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his judgment, justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility, and it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." When Jesus comes back, it's not again going to be a time of grace. It's going to be a time of judgment. And he's going to judge this world. And here this verse says that at least part of being right with God, at least part of avoiding the wrath of God that comes at the end, is this meekness along with humility and righteousness. Let us strive to be meek so that we might be ready for his coming. Let us pray. Father, we thank